How would Jesus handle his family? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. How would Jesus handle his family? We're all looking for role models in our life as to how we should conduct our life, how we should live our life, how we should be as human beings, how we should be as divine beings. We're all looking for role models. Well, the Christian community has turned to Jesus, as have all the other religious communities of the world. They turn to their leader. They turn to the person who has been the spearhead of their philosophy and their religion, their way of thinking. And so we might turn our attention to Jesus, and we say, how would Jesus have handled his family? Now, we come to one pre-conclusion here, and that is that Jesus was a balanced, happy, able person. He was not unbalanced. He was not inharmonious. He was not mentally aloof. He was not mentally off. He was on. As we might say, he was on to a very high degree. Now, how would Jesus have handled his family? Now, you take a person who knows the future, who knows the past, who knows the present. You take a person who is aware of what values are in life and has himself the most grand values anyone could seek to have. And you look at this person and you say, how would they have handled their family when their family wasn't quite on the same train, on the same boat, on the same plan as they were? Not that the family was above or below them, but Jesus had a certain intuitive awareness of his divinity. He had an intuitive awareness of where he was going and what his purpose was in life. Now, as he looked at his brothers and sisters and his mother and father, to be sure, he had many thoughts about what they were doing and what he was doing. And as he looked at them, and as he played with them as children, as he played with them as he was a little child too, he did the things that were harmonious with playing with the other children. He was in a state of aloof consciousness, awareness, just like some autistic children are. They are so brilliant in certain areas and just wonderful. Now, we're not saying Jesus was an autistic child. We're just saying that as an autistic child who was brilliant in his own area. Now, what did he do? How did he live? How did he function himself as he was living with his brothers and sisters and with the neighborhood children and with his parents and with the other adults in his world? We hear that when he was 12, he counseled with the rabbis so generously, so abundantly, so beautifully, so intelligently that they were bamboozled by the magic of his words. Now, he didn't do that very often, obviously, or else we would have heard of it. But he did it. And mostly he kept to himself. Mostly he lived that inner vision. And when it was time for him to step forth and do something outwardly, he did. But in this family, he was a fine young man. He was obedient to his parents. He was obedient to the principle of the community. He was obedient to the tools of the trade that he learned from his father. He was obedient to the divine within him, which sort of overshadowed all the rest of these things, but yet he was a human being. He played the role of a human being. Now, how did Jesus handle his family? He knew ahead of time. He knew inside himself what certain actions would bring about in the life of the family when they thought certain things and said certain things. He knew that when they had negative attitudes or negative thoughts about themselves or their world or the things that were going on in their world, he knew that those negative thoughts would bring about negative results in his world. So, he was probably Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. He was probably always looking at the positive, always looking at the joyful, always looking at the harmonious. We don't have too much of a report on that. But his character, as it evolved and as it was revealed, must have come out of a positive frame of consciousness. He was not unhappy with his brothers and sisters and his family. He was not unhappy with what they were doing and how they were doing it. But he was always a positive mental guide in that program. Now, the age of people was quite different than it is today. It's still 30 years and 30 years. It's still 10 years or 12 years and still that way. But in the time of Jesus, 30 years was the end of life. It was the lifespan. And so in that time, they had to do all of their living. Now, does that tell us that he was more brilliant at a younger age because the lifespan was short? Or more was expected of him, more responsibility as a human being and as a person in the community and the family was expected of him at an earlier age? Well, in any event, he did not show forth his ministry until 3 years before his moving on to another dimension of experience. But what did he do when he lived with his family? He saw his brothers and his sisters, all of whom were younger than he was. He saw them all doing silly things that children do. And as he saw them doing this, he was the elder brother. So he had a benefit to him right away, because he was the elder brother. So he dealt with all the members of his family, including his father and mother, as a very magnificent psychologist, as a very magnificent person who looked beyond, who saw what was going to happen when they did certain things. And we can too. We can very definitely see what's going to happen in our life when we do certain things, and he did too. Now, he talked with his brothers and sisters, and he told them the values of life. The elder members of the family always did this. The elder children, the elder families, parents, grandparents, however they were still around. And they told their children, they told their peers, they told the younger members of the family, what were the values. And they didn't only tell them what the values were, they demonstrated to them how, if they had a positive attitude of mind, they lived in a very happy family. Well, the family of Jesus, of Joseph and Mary, and all brothers and sisters, were intelligent people, and they were people who were gifted in the skill of carpentry, in the skill of working with wood. And these things Jesus knew too. So when he was dealing with his family and he was dealing with the other children, he would use illustrations from the woodworking aspect of their communal life. And as he used this, he said to them, a carpenter will cut into the wood, and when he finds the wood is unstable, he will leave the wood and turn away from it and find a stable piece of wood, a piece of wood that will maintain a chair, that will maintain any type of furniture that it might be made into, that will maintain a strong house, that will maintain these things. And he used these illustrations. He did not pretend to be superior to the children, or to his parents, or to the community. He merely had an inner wisdom that placed him in a very enviable position. He understood, to the smallest degree, how speaking any word which was untrue or which was negative, would bring about a tremendous experience in the life of the person doing that. And he was very careful that he never spoke any words that were inconsistent with his nature and that were not true. He always spoke the truth, but he spoke it in parables. He started out early doing this because he was the elder brother, and he had to work with his younger brothers and sisters, and often his parents would listen too. And his younger brothers and sisters were amazed at what he did, were amazed at his understanding. But they said, of course, that's my brother, that's my brother. And that was sufficient claim for him. Now, he did these things. Did his family appreciate him at all times? Not really. Did his family appreciate him even a little bit? Well, not really, because the family always wanted to see him as they were, as human beings. The family found it very difficult to see him as a divine being. Even his parents, knowing his marvelous birth, considered him a human child, a human boy who should mind the parents and do what he's told to do. Why is it that Jesus would allow himself to be born into such a world, into such a family, into such a circumstance, and perhaps at such a time in history? Why do you allow yourself to be born into this time in history that you are today? Why is it that any of us allow ourselves to be anywhere in the world at any time? Why? We allow ourselves, we place ourselves in the world because we are being ourselves and having fun. And you can be sure Jesus was being himself and having fun. And when he dealt with his brothers and sisters, his family, he dealt with them not as a superior master, but just as someone who knew. Someone who knew. A musician who is accomplished, who has trained himself as a musician, as a pianist, for instance, he plays the piano very well. And a musician who is more than just a mechanical player of the piano, who puts an interpretation in there, who puts feeling and mood into it, who has the ebb and flow of the magic of the creator of that music, the composer of that music, who found that composer's key point. Well, the musician who finds that and plays that does not think he is any better than anybody else in the world. He just loves what he's doing. And what he did was to play music very well, was to play music in a manner that was beholden to the music to express itself in its most magical, beautiful way. And this is how the Master Jesus was too. He found he had an inner wisdom. He found he had an inner understanding, and he felt that everyone else could too, and everyone else did too. And he lived it. As the pianist who plays well, who plays with most magnificence, does not think he is superior to anyone else in any way. He just thinks he can play the piano very nicely. And he uses the piano to express his mode, his attitude of life. And this is what people do who are listening within, as Jesus did. This is what people do who are listening to the divine within themselves. We go to the great gurus, to the teachers, to the philosophers, to the people who are thoughtful in our world. We go there not because they are better than we are, but because they seem to have a touch with something special inside of themselves. And they all, one and all, attempt to show each one of us how to look for that something special within us. That something special within our life that makes us into a beautiful, fantastic person. Jesus did this as he worked with his family. He knew ahead of time how things were going to come out because he knew when certain principles were exercised, certain results took place. We all know this. None of us are hidden from the truth. We are all aware of the truth. We are all aware of these things. We know it. But we want to play the game sometimes of being mean or being hateful or being unhappy. And of course, the only person who benefits from our being mean or our being hateful or our being unhappy is ourselves. And to say benefits, you are reaping the harvest of what you're sowing and planting in your life. If you are sowing thoughts of unhappiness, thoughts of insecurity, thoughts of anger and hatred, then that is what you're getting back in your life, because that's what you're giving out, and whatever you're giving out is reflected back at you, to you, in you, because it is who you are. And you're creating your world exactly as you are. Now, what do I mean, exactly as you are? Does that mean that that's something that's going to happen and there's no way around it? Does that mean that that's the way you are and there's no changing? No. What that means is, as a man thinketh in his heart, whatever we have in our inner consciousness, that is what we reflect, our charismatic outpouring of ourselves into our world, and other people see that and they say, oh, wow, or my goodness. And whatever they say in triplicate. We say even more powerfully. To benefit from the works and the world of the Master Jesus, to benefit from the great teachers, gurus, philosophers, the great men and women of all time who come along and share with us, give us the love that they have within them, the peace they have within them, the harmony they have within them, and how we have that in us also. This is what Jesus did for his brothers and sisters and for his family. This is what gurus do for their brothers and sisters and family. They're not always appreciated. They're not always understood. A prophet is always, rather, not always known. He's not always appreciated in his own time. And sometimes he's not even appreciated after his time. But the greatness of living from the divine within and listening to that inner voice within and following what it says, and following what it says not pompously but joyously, following what it says as an older brother. You like your older brother usually in the family. You think that older brother is a wonderful role model. That older brother is something wonderful. And when that older brother is not a wonderful role model, when that older brother is selfish and he goes on to do things that are harmful to himself and others, the family sort of disavows him, disowns him. And not really, but they feel, how can our brother be like that when we are like this, when our mother and father are like this? And then they begin to look at their mother and father, and they begin to look at themselves, and they see that they too have pretty much the same attitude that their elder brother has. Now, where did that come from? Well, it came down the line. It came down the world where the world thinks that they have a right to do anything they want to do. They have a right to go out and be any kind of person they want. And yet they try to put on the mask of charisma, a mask of making them appear to be something they are not, and it doesn't work. Whoever you really are, if you are living a life of harmony and peace and joy, it's because you are harmony, peace, and joy within you. And this is your choice. This is my choice. This is the determination I make every moment of my life with every thought I think. Every thought I think. And just like Jesus handled his family, he had every thought he thought beautiful, harmonious, and joyful. And if any member of the family ever chose to go off with the wrong crowd, he wouldn't say, you're off with the wrong crowd. He would say, hey, let's look at these guys over here. That's a right crowd for us to be associated with. That's the right group of people to be living with. They are our kind of people. They're our kind of folks. And really, this is what Jesus showed to his family. He showed his family his kind of folks. When he went off and found his disciples and found these people, he found people who wanted to go the direction that he was going, but did not go the direction he was going. They wanted to walk the path that he was walking, but they did not want to walk the path that he was walking because they hadn't had it instilled in their consciousness from childhood on. And some of them did it. Some of them were rather remarkable, but none of them was as pure and beautiful, loving, gentle, sincere, and kind as the Master himself. Whenever you go to see a guru, you go to see a great teacher, you go to see someone who inspires you, they inspire you because they are a living example of what they teach. They are the role model of what they believe, and they live it with every ounce of their being. In the most trying circumstances that the world presents to them, they live in peace. No matter where they are, who they are, that peaceful, wonderful, magnificent being that they are and always were, shines forth for all the world to see. And all the world looks at them and they say, oh, you're a nice person, you're a good person, you're a thoughtful person, you're a considerate person, you're beautiful, you're a loving person, you're an unconditionally loving person, you're amazing. And they say that because in their own life, in your own life, in my own life, we may have had some difficulties, some troubles, some problems, and we may have thought, these are going to be with us always. And then we come upon a teacher who says, let the past be gone. Live in the now. Live in the present. Do you believe you can be healed? Do you believe you can live a good life? Do you believe that all is in divine order? Do you believe that everyone on earth is a beautiful being? Do you believe that every creator on earth, and you're one of those creators, every creator on earth is a super creator and creating according to his understanding? And that when a person creates something that is not beneficial, they stop creating something not beneficial and they start creating something that is beneficial. Pure, simple, beautiful as that. With nothing more complex than that, nothing more outstanding than that, nothing more unusual than that. How did Jesus act with his brothers and sisters? How are you to act with your family? Wherever you may be, you have a family. You are surrounded by people who love you. You're surrounded by people who care about you. You're surrounded by people who see you in your highest and best. How can you handle that? How can you handle that in your everyday life? How can you be the most magnificent person that ever walked the face of the earth? Well, you cannot be that. I say, you cannot be that because you are that. Now, when we start recognizing that we are that, then we start living what we are and we have a very fulfilled, happy life. But if we're going to try to be something we feel we are not, we feel we have seen not present in our consciousness, then we'll have a losing battle. Then we will be unable to accomplish the dreams and goals of our heart because we say that is not us. I wish that were me. I wish, well, when you stop wishing and start knowing that all good is you right now. All love is you and me right now. All peace is me, is you, is us right now. All goodness is forevermore. And that though a bit of dust might blow around, if it settles, you just dust it away. Because all that is good and beautiful and pure and true, that is who it is that I and you are. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. It's who are we? Who are we? Are we the Jesus who came to earth in a spectacular way and a most marvelous teaching? Are we Lao Tse? Are we Confucius? Are we the Buddha? Are we all of these rather remarkable beings that come along and share beauty and love? And how interesting it is that the originators, the teachers, the sharers of great ideas share them in such purity and such nobleness that if they were followed in their purity and nobleness, it would be the most glorified experience anyone could ever have. But the followers want to manipulate the teaching, want to manipulate the principle, manipulate the cause and effect to be something that reflects what they think they deserve because they don't deserve anymore. And when you stop acting from that point of view and start acting from the point of view of the magical person that you are, then that's the person you will always be. Let's remember how Jesus handled his family, how Jesus worked with his family, and how Jesus always saw things beautiful. And he would say that to everyone. And some of them had a little difficulty finding things beautiful, but because Jesus lived it and shared it and was it, it was an easy road for everyone in his world to follow it too, to enjoy it too, to live it too, and to be it. Join with me in walking the way and knowing that if I am a living example of what I say I believe, my world will be outstanding because my charisma will shine forth so beautifully. It'll be done now. I love you. I love you. I love you.